Who doesn't love to be confused when you're reading scripture? As human beings, I mean, obviously, for good reasons, we like to read scripture, pray with scripture, know what's going on, and have no bit of unclarity, no bit of anything. We can just read it, know what's happening, and then know exactly what we need to do and how to respond as Christians. That is not at all the case in this gospel. It's 73,000 pages long. There's all kind of people involved. They're running all over the place. These things are saying. They're saying it again. This dude dies. He comes back and like, oh, okay, that's cool, I guess. All these things are happening, and you have to pay attention to all of the details. So normally a homily should give a little bit more clarity, but we're going to focus on the things that just confuse us today. The very first thing that comes to mind is when Jesus says, okay, let's go to Judea. And the disciples pause and say, okay, hold on. If you remembered, not just but a few days ago, they tried to stone you there. They wanted to murder you, and you want to go back? That's kind of stupid. Let's not do that. This is in John's 8th chapter, 2 chapters before this one. And they pick up the stones to kill Jesus, and it says that Jesus hid himself and left the temple. He hid himself and walked out. For years and years and years, that was the only reading that happened on this fifth Sunday of Lent. That's why you see statues and images covered in this time of the church, Passion Tide, because Jesus hid himself and he left the temple, a sign that now, the next time we see him enter the temple, it's to resurrect, to bring things back to life. The next time he goes back to Jerusalem is to die, to be buried. The disciples don't fully understand this. They're saying, Lord, why do you want to go back to the place, to the people that wanted to kill you? We'll get back to that in a second and why that's important. The disciples also say, okay, Lazarus is sick, but if he's just sick and Jesus, you said he's just asleep, well, then he'll be okay. We don't need to go that way. It's not that far of a walk. It's only about 2 miles, but we don't need to go all the way there to see him if he's only sick. You're God. You know what's going on. And Jesus clarifies and he says, no, Lazarus is dead. He's dead. Been dead for 4 days. Okay, well then why didn't you go sooner? Why would you not go and heal him so that he would not die? Martha said the same thing. Mary said the same thing. Lord, if you were here, he wouldn't have died. I know that you have the power. They know who Jesus is. And who among us wouldn't ask the same question? Lord, if you had been here, my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, my friend, my somebody would be healed. They wouldn't die. They wouldn't suffer. Lord, if you were here and you really did hear my prayers and you could show up, then this wouldn't happen. I know I have made that prayer dozens of times in my life. All these things don't seem to quite make sense. But what strikes me that doesn't make sense at all, until you know the context of it, is something that the disciples don't know. Because John writes specifically, Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. He loved them, dear, dear friends of his. So what does he do when he hears Lazarus is sick? I'm gonna stay at home and be comfortable for the next 2 days. It's like if one of you, as you're at work, gets a phone call and says, hey, your son, your daughter, your mom, your dad is gravely ill. They might actually die. I need you to come home. And you go, okay, great. I'm gonna stay at work for a few more days. When you get home, you would probably get slapped. Why, if you love them, Lord, are you just gonna wait around for 2 more days? A lot of that deals with the superstition of the Jewish people at the time. Because see, the Jews at this time in history believed that when somebody died, the soul and the body were separated, and they would seal the tomb, for obvious reasons, you gotta bury the dead. But they believed that for 3 days, the soul just kind of wandered around the tomb and waited, trying to get back in to reanimate the body. A certain resurrection, a resurrection from the dead. But after the 3 days, there was no chance. The soul went somewhere else, the land of the dead. And Jesus knew this, and he's playing into that to prove something, that even after the 3 days, on the 4th day, Lord, it's been 4 days. There's no chance. Don't take the stone away. It's not going to smell that great. It's not going to happen. And Jesus says, what I'm doing here is so much greater than what you understand. It's so much greater than what you know. And isn't that the case for each and every one of us every single day of our lives? What the Lord is doing for us, with us, through us, within us, is always so much deeper, so much greater than what we know, than what we understand, sometimes than what we even want or desire. Because when the Lord finally gets to Bethany and he has this whole conversation with Mary and Martha, Lord, if you were here, he wouldn't have died. Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you'd have resurrection? I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. And then he weeps, not necessarily just at the death of his friend, but he weeps at our lack of faith. Just like he weeps over Jerusalem. Jerusalem, how I long to gather you to myself, the psalm says. But you've gone so far away. You've wandered. I want to pour out so many gifts and blessings and graces, and yet you still choose sin. You still choose to walk away. And he weeps, and it breaks his sacred heart. And yet he does not give up on us. He doesn't leave or go anywhere. He simply comes to us, even though it may seem to us that he's late. If you'd have been here, you wouldn't have died, Lord. He's been there 4 days. What are you going to do about it now? But the Lord's timing is always absolutely perfect. We don't always see it. We don't always believe it. But it's the truth. Because what Jesus is pointing to here, why didn't he show up as soon as he heard Lazarus was sick? Why did he tell them to take away the stone? I'm going to raise him now. Why did he tell the disciples, yes, we're going back to the same place that they wanted to kill me? Because Jesus is less worried about physical healing than he is eternal life. There is a true and actual real resurrection that we have at our baptisms. Every time we go to Holy Reconciliation to make a good confession, there is a real resurrection that takes place because we get to walk away from the darkness and the death of sin. Each and every time you walk into that confessional, lay your sins down, and then walk away, you're leaving behind the stench of your sin. You're leaving behind the death that sin brings us to. Have you ever found yourself wondering, why do I feel so dead and unfulfilled and just bland, going day to day to day, in and out of the ebb and flow of day-to-day life? And nothing is fulfilling, nothing is interesting, nothing is anything but dead. Chances are when we find ourselves in that pit of despair almost, we're in sin. Or if we're not in sin, we're certainly not going to the Lord and honestly pouring ourselves out into prayer and being able to receive. Yes, prayer is essential, but don't get me wrong. Just because you go and pray a little bit in the chapel doesn't mean that you're going to walk out and suddenly all of your problems are gone. I wish it worked that way. I really do. But in what ways do we stay dead to our sin? In what ways do we need to walk away from it? To allow the Lord to open the tomb and then call us out of it? Because we can't call ourselves out of sin. The good news of the gospel is that we were dead to sin, and now there's a resurrection that the Lord offers us. We're celebrating that in 2 short Sundays, 2 weeks. Easter, the fullness of the glory of God, the resurrection, that is a newness of life that we get to participate in as well. We'll get into that 2 weeks from now. But right now we focus on what kills us spiritually. What sin, what vice, what temptation do we keep playing with and flirting with and choosing? Because we call ourselves into sin, basically. The enemy tempts us and we said, yeah, that sounds good. And the Lord is always in the back going, no, you don't understand it. Your timing isn't according to your timeline, but I'm doing something so much deeper, so much better, so much more powerful for you, and I want that fullness for you. We have to allow the Lord to call us out of the tomb of sin. We have to allow him to call us by name. Lazarus, come out. Matthew, come out. Walk away from your sin. Leave it behind you and bask in the glory of the resurrection. Because Lazarus isn't still walking the planet today. Yes, he came back to life and he died another physical death. He wasn't just going to stay alive for eternity. But there is something so much greater that we find in the Lord that this planet, this earth, this government, this church even will never fully offer us. And it's that eternal life that calls us from the pits of sin, the darkness of sin, the death and the stench of sin, if you will. It may not always make sense to us. It's probably not always going to make sense to us. Why did the Lord wait an extra 2 days to prove to the people, you don't believe that after 3 days this can happen, I'm going to make it happen before your eyes? Why did Jesus love him and then wait? Because he was worried about showing Lazarus and Martha and Mary that I love you so much that I want eternal life for you. I want resurrection from the dead for you, not just healing from a remedy, or healing from an ailment or a sickness. Yes, physical healing is great and we should pray and fast for it. But the Lord's heart is set on us being in heaven with him for eternity. And that is something that no medicine, no treatment, no anything can ever offer us. Why is all of this important? Because for us as the church, it's time for us to, yes, focus on our sin, but turn away from the sin to be called out of the tomb. So that we too, like Lazarus, who died again, can walk with Jesus when he returns to Jerusalem. Next Sunday, Palm Sunday, he enters back into Jerusalem, not to have a party, although they're celebrating him. He walks in to die. And he will be condemned there. He will be judged there. He will be beaten and scourged and carry his cross out of that city only to go to Calvary, only to mount the cross, only to give his life for our sins. So we have to wonder whether or not we're going to be like the rest of the disciples or St. Thomas today. The rest of the disciples are saying, why do we want to go back there? Don't you think that's a little dumb? And St. Thomas, who poor thing we always call Doubting Thomas, he's also Ready Thomas, Courageous Thomas, because he said, no, let's go with him so that we too can die. And I'm not fully convinced that Thomas didn't understand fully what was going on. Maybe he knew a little something else, that yeah, we might die. Jerusalem is getting dangerous for us. That whole area, they're trying to come after us. But there's something more. Doesn't he promise us that he's the resurrection, he's the life, and there's an eternal life that he's offering us? We should be like St. Thomas, ready to step up and say, I'm going to do this. Let's follow him. Let's go with him. Let us let him call us out of the tomb of our sin to walk away from the stench of what pulls us back, that spiritual death, so we can bask in his glory. Are you willing to do that? Or as Jesus says to Martha, do you believe this? If the answer is yes, then let's go. Let's walk out of the tomb. This is an invitation from the Lord, not just for our benefit, but for the benefit of the entire planet, the whole church, the kingdom. Because when we allow the Lord to call us from sin and resurrect us, we allow him to glorify himself in us, through us, for us, to the rest of the world. We become a living testament of who God is. And until we allow that to happen, we're just another person who claims on social media to be a disciple. But if you're not living it, don't claim it. And I say that with all love and charity. It is time for us as the church to step up and to live discipleship and to choose the Lord and be willing to die to our sins. Are people going to love it? No. Are people going to maybe want to, hopefully not physically, but maybe theoretically, stone us like they wanted to stone Jesus? Maybe, probably. But let's ask St. Thomas to pray with us and for us so that we too can have that zeal and say, let's go with him. Let's follow him so that we too can die and resurrect. It's an invitation from the Lord that I hope and pray that you accept and you say yes to. And I leave you with these beautiful words from Andrew of Crete, who is a very early church, Eastern church father. And he gave this homily on this particular gospel passage, and it's really written as a poem between Jesus and Lazarus. In this particular passage is Jesus to Lazarus, obviously. And it's not just Lazarus come out, but there's so much more to it. When he says, Lazarus, come out. As your friend, I am calling you. As your Lord, I'm commanding you, come out of the tomb. Let the stench of your sin, let the stench of your body prove the resurrection and the glory of God. Let the burial linen be undone so that they can recognize the one who was put into the tomb. Lazarus, come out. Come out of the tomb. Teach them how all creation will be enlivened in a single moment when the trumpet's voice proclaims the resurrection of the dead and the glory of God. Lazarus, come out. Friends, brothers and sisters, Christ the King, LSU, wherever you are coming from, come out of the tomb. Accept the Lord's invitation. Know your sin and know the death that it causes, yes, but bask in the glory of who the Lord is and who you are to him. O church, it is time. Come out of the tomb. Thank you for listening to the Christ the King at LSU podcast. The ministry here is possible thanks to our generous supporters. If you would like to become a CTK Golden Giver or learn more, please check our website. Your monthly support of $10, $25, or more reaches hearts across LSU's campus and beyond. Details can be found on the website at www.ctklsu.org.